Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's me.
Hi.
I'm back again.
Hi, me.
You're back again.
Back.
We're missing a lot of people, and we're going to go ahead and at least start processing and find out what's been going on with all of you while we're waiting for other people to show up. So I was here with you last time, and we studied a lot of interesting stuff, didn't we?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We did some things with submodalities. We did language patterns, the language patterns of what we call specificity, the meta model. We talked a bit about the language patterns of influence, the Milton model, and I did mention we did the meta model. You had an opportunity to practice with family, I'm guessing, and friends over Thanksgiving. And I'm really interested in what happened as you used some of your skills, especially your communication skills, with getting people to be more specific. So what's been happening in the months since I saw you last? Besides, you've gotten a little moisture here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My five sisters are not talking to me anymore.
Because?
Isn't that a good thing?
It's awesome.
How did that happen?
Well, the gist of it is that the six kids between age 10 and 14 from them post their Christmas list, and out of their Christmas list, like 10, 12 items are all concert to this and that, $100, $1,000.
They're very expensive things.
Yes.
Yes.
Headphones, uh-huh. That is like $200, $300, and one roll $1,000 on it, and I'm like, what for? Anyway, so I answered, it was a Google Hangout thing with my sister, and I answered back to my sister, and I said, you know, the list shows the mindset of the children.
Yes.
And maybe this is an opportunity for us to teach them to make a meaningful list that for themselves and maybe others included into the list. And they're like, no, it's just a fantasy list. It's just a list. No big deal. They don't mean it. One actually said, if you don't want to give them gifts, it's fine. We have plenty of other relatives that will give them those gifts.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's why they're not talking to me anymore.
But you thought it was an opportunity to maybe
teach
their values.
Right. And build characters and compassion for the world or even themselves, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, no, it's just a fantasy list. They're not expecting it. I'm like, then why let them write a list that they're not expect to happen? What was the point of it? Oh,
yeah.
It's just for them to have the fantasy.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I just spent some time with a couple of my grandsons, and they were doing the same thing, looking at, and the one boy said, can I ask for these shoes in a bigger size so that when the ones I've got wear out, I'll have these really fancy shoes in an even bigger size? And his mom said, well, I guess you could, but maybe your tastes will change by the time you get into that. And he goes, no, no way. So it is true there, you know, that it's a bit more difficult to teach about values and what things are worth and everything.
But
else.
Those are not the kids' answer; those are the parents'
right.
answer. And that bothers me.
That,
more than the
uh-huh.
kids coming out from the kids.
And you're not going to change your sisters, you know
no,
that.
I know that.
Uh-huh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. What other kinds of experiences did you have in the month that we've been apart?
Well, whenever I hear anyone say, oh, I always do this, or you never do that, or she always, or whatever, I don't question them out loud, but in my head, I'm always like, always?
Uh-huh.
Never. If it's my husband, I give, you know, I'm like, no, that's not true. And then we find the one time when maybe it wasn't true, but so I'm just like listening for a lot of meta models.
So you are hearing more and more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity to hear those sorts of things. Once you learn it, it's difficult not to hear it or not to see it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. And if it's appropriate, with the curiosity, again, that's what's so critical about using that, is to put wonder and curiosity in your voice before you say, is that always true?
Thank you for having me that. Yeah. My husband thanks you too.
Well, I heard rumors that when Bandler and Grinder were first presenting the meta model to the students at the University of California, they were doing it so forcefully. They were asking questions so forcefully. They were really making people angry. So that doesn't meet the intent of why you're asking. If you really want the information, then you find a way to ask it that is acceptable. Yeah. Okay, other comments about what you have been doing? Yeah, Marilyn, did you get yourself?
Yes. I have felt just very uplifted. And I felt a wonderful sense of well-being and happiness. And I've gotten my house a little more in order.
It's
not going to happen all at once. But
remember, that was the last thing we did was the demonstration on you getting in order?
So I'm getting there. Yeah. And I had a friend who said, I just have this terrible feeling with my empty nest home. I said, would you like an interesting experience?
Oh, yay.
And
went through it and did the...
What process did you...
I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute, I wrote it down because I made notes. Made my own. Not maybe
Anchor integration.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anchor.
That's what I did.
An anchor integration. You integrated how she felt with the empty nest with?
With how she felt with her contentment, in her words,
okay,
when her family was home.
Uh-huh.
So
anchored
that, and she said, oh, that's wonderful.
Yay.
She says, I ought to be paying you. I had gone to her for foot zoning.
For what?
She's a foot zoner. She just...
Oh, reflexology.
Yes,
reflexology.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew it was foot zoning.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's...
All right.
It would sound like that, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
And so she said, all right, next time we get together, we'll just swap.
Oh, nice.
So,
all right.
I said, well, I'm learning. And
here's your new career.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
That's
awesome.
So the things that you are doing in here are making a difference in your life, and
yes,
you can tell.
Yes.
And then you feel comfortable enough to go out and share it with somebody else.
Yeah. That's fun. It is.
It
feels
is.
Good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Okay. Other things that happened. Horatio.
I have a friend who's been out of work for, she's been a mother for 5 years. Trying to get back in the workforce has been really difficult. And she's kind of coming up against the end of her financial situation is being difficult.
She
just sounded stuck on the phone in terms of she's been rejected at a few job offers. So I offered to sit with her for a few hours to help her clarify. Because even as I was asking her, well, what do you say when they ask you this? Her answer just seemed very unclear about what she wanted. So I went and tried to do the outcome, and I brought the book and all. And it was funny, it's very hard to do sometimes. I mean, I think we're all kind of attuned to it, but it was really, like, I would ask her one question, what do you want? And it was just lots of stories in her head.
Oh, you get so much?
It was just like, it was almost like I could almost write it for her after hearing what was important to her, but it was really hard to get her to focus, like, okay, so what, is it in your control? And it was just like a simple answer, but she would just go off in just lots of stories, and it was like really hard to corral her to the you know, it's almost like I had to kind of really work on it. And at the end, what really helped her maybe was just confronting the next interview with like a very quick change process, like present state to more positive state.
Mm-hmm.
But the outcome, it was really hard to get her to go through that, with, you know, I mean, in terms of just navigating it. It seemed like it would take multiple sessions with her to do that.
So at this point, she was finding it very difficult to even create what she wanted or think about what she wanted.
Yeah, like I had to pull it out, and then it'd be two or three things, and we'd try to get it a little bit tighter, and it's just...
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy sometimes. People are really jarbled up inside.
Well, yeah, and if she's been out of the workforce for 5 years, she sat all that time to stockpile all those stories and maybe hasn't had people to listen to her about her stories. I mean, oftentimes people need to be heard. Yeah. And what do you think she got out of what you were doing with her?
Well, I think she, we were able to go back to a time when she felt very successful in her last role was working and take that into her next interview and also see herself and she got this commitment in 30 days she'll have a job and she actually did write me later and said she had gone to the second round of a job. So I hopefully that went with her to the interview, that positive. She wasn't expressing that negative energy of, oh, I've got four kids and I'm too old and I haven't done this. Like all those things were in her head when people would ask the question.
Uh-huh.
Really try to get that out of her, just show her that that's projecting some sort of energy that she needs to get out of. You know, she needs to be in a more positive place and really give herself belief.
Right.
So that's kind of what we worked on.
Well, and if you think about any time that you are presenting yourself somehow, which you are if you're looking for a job, helping her be in a more positive state is one of the biggest gifts you can give, even if she doesn't know what she wants yet. You know, and it sounds like you started her on her trajectory and helped her find a time she felt successful.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference in the world. So, congratulations, yeah. Okay, other things that you used, yeah, Gary.
Quite a few very interesting experiences, but one was really amazing. We have a young woman who works in our office part-time, and part of it, what she does is office work, and part of what she does is, one of her gigs is once a week she gives me a one-hour Mandarin lesson, because we have a lot of bilingual clients. And so we're doing the Mandarin lesson, and you know, it's all about insurance. Do you have an insurance car? And when would you like your appointment? This kind of stuff. But as a little treat, I usually, at the end, I may have her show me a couple sentences that are hypnotic. You know, you can relax, you know, close your eyes, this kind of thing. This is a woman who's very analytical. So she has a degree in microbiology, and now she's a first year acupuncture student. So she's got a science background. Anyway, while she's teaching me the Mandarin phrases, I can, and I'm, you know, I'm doing the rapport and stuff like that, I can see that she's starting to, you know, go into trance a little bit. You know, she's, you know, I have to close your eyes and I'm saying, well, do you think you could do it a little bit more relaxed, like you would, you know, you would actually say it to somebody who you wanted to do this. But by the, pretty soon it was, and it was so indirect, because as far as she was concerned, we were doing a Mandarin lesson. But there was this other level going on. Yeah. And so anyway, that ended. And then, so we both went about our business, and then about a few hours later, this little knock on the door said, do you want to do some more? So she pulled up the chair, and so she started, this time, instead of going, you know, you close your eyes, I'm starting to go, well, your breathing has changed. You have a very powerful mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more things like that. Pretty soon she just stops. And she goes, can you help me with this problem? I've got this problem. And it was a problem that was really made to order for the change person history. And so I did that with her. And wow, that was very powerful. It was like a standing regression, really.
Mm-hmm.
She came back from the earliest and brought the positive back.
Mm-hmm.
It was minutes. She was doing that for minutes before she came back. I was beginning to think, well, where are what's going on?
Yeah.
And then finally, she came back, and it was very helpful.
Okay.
It was very helpful for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she realized in what you were doing that you had the power to help her with something, and she asked for help.
She did. Completely under the radar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we did quite a bit last time with being able to time travel, didn't we? Go back in time, find things that may not have worked out for you. What have you noticed in yourself? I mean, Marilyn reported she notices a lot of things happening with her. What have you noticed through doing some of the processes we did? What, if anything, shifts in your life when you do these kinds of things? Because we did change personal history, and we did anchor integration, and we did a guided search. Do these all sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. There's an awareness when these feelings come up.
Okay.
A real awareness, that a much more heightened awareness that there might be something else going on, or that you maybe, this person may represent something that has nothing to do with what they are. They just look like somebody from.
Okay, so you get some, what do we call that? Conscious recognition. Oh, this may not be about this at all. This may be. And the holidays are really a good time to understand this stuff, because you get in an environment you've been in before with familiar smells and tastes, as well as the other representation systems, the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And it can be a really powerful anchor for taking you back to other experiences you had. Now, some of them could have been powerfully positive, and you end up with a good feeling about it. But it also can bring up some of the other things that may have happened for you. And now that you recognize that, if you can recognize it, you go, I know a process I could use to work with this. Yeah. So, other things. Anything else that you want to report out to the group?
Well, when it comes to change personal history and then later the larger part of that, the re-imprinting that basically builds on that, I think it's really important to keep in mind that what you're really doing is changing your experience of the happening. So, I mean, sure, there are facts, but it's purely your personal experience that you're changing. You're broadening your perspective with that. I mean, the past doesn't effectively change. I mean, the facts of what happened don't change. But the way that you deal with that, that is mostly what you change. And if you keep that in mind, it becomes really flexible to start working with, because you don't have to change any facts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't write a new story.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's purely the experience around that you...
And we're going to play with that. You change the meanings you had attached to any specific event. Yes?
Well, I have two things that I noticed that I think are related to what we do here. One came out of the Milton model, and one of the exercises I did, well, change personal history, essentially. But it kind of got me to a realization about like how whatever happened, and say something bad happened or something unpleasant, sometimes we tend to blame people for, like, you know, you're a bad person, this is what you did to me. So I kind of realized that it's not really, you know, the person. It's kind of like just our culture kind of forces people to be a certain way. And you can't really blame, like, say, your parents for doing something, you know, or yelling at you or disciplining you or whatever, however bad, like, if it had a negative effect on you. So I decided to write like a little diary story about it, like using a Milton model. So I was sitting in a coffee shop and writing it, and then like after a while, this man comes up to me and he's like, oh, what are you doing? Like, started asking me about my setup and stuff like that. So we started talking, and like within a few minutes, it kind of shifted to like stuff like spirituality, you know, what we think about religions, like what we think about, like what's the meaning of life, stuff like that.
This is in a coffee shop?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's like, he wouldn't have known, you know, what I was doing. And, like, that's exactly what I was, you know, writing about.
Uh-huh.
So that's one thing. And then the second thing was I went home for the Thanksgiving, and I really started, like, consciously noticing about, like, how my mom communicates. And she's, like, what we call a strong woman, so she's really, like, assertive and... I tended to be more appeasing and like agreeing to what she was proposing, and I found myself like really starting to like be firmer with her, like about, no, I don't want it done this way, or I want it done another way, or just basically kind of like asserting myself a bit more. And that's how I think it worked a little better for me. Make myself feel better about myself communicating with her that way versus trying to be like
just
nice
giving
and
in.
Easy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So becoming again consciously aware of the pattern. Okay, what does she do? And what's my response to that?
Yeah, and I was doing it unconsciously. And I noticed myself doing it. I was like, wait a second, this is different.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's one of the beauties of NLP. You become consciously aware of your patterns and the patterns in the people around you. And you had some kind of loop going on, a calibrated loop, we call it, with your mother. And you were just responding in that way without knowing you were even doing it at the conscious level. And then when you become aware of it, you go, I don't like that. I don't like the way I feel when I do that. So you change your behavior. Yeah. Congratulations. That's good too. Yeah.
I want to add that on to my story is that about rapport. Mm-hmm. So I took it for granted when I spoke, you know, texting with my sisters. So maybe if I have done a little bit more before I spoke about my point of view, maybe the result would be a little bit different. I don't know.
This is a good questioning you're asking now. Perhaps had I done some pacing, acknowledging and taking the time to acknowledge what they must be going through before I came back with my suggestion.
Right.
So it almost always is helpful to pace before you lead.
Yes.
And it's really funny with family, with close friends, we assume.
It's automatically there.
Oh.
And we tell each other we love each other all the time. So it wasn't like a strange thing. You know? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, now I look back, it's like, well, maybe.
Maybe had I taken the time to really understand what was going on and communicate that to them first, they could have heard what I was saying
easier.
Yeah, that's a great realization.
And yeah, also because I'm the oldest, so I'm sure they hear me as authoritative tone on them. Even that was not my tone and that was not my intent.
You have a place in the family.
Already established point where I am in the, the highest.
Yeah.
Whatever coming down on you.
So taking the time to make sure you have the rapport.
That was what I was not doing.
Mm. That's a great realization. Yeah.
It's repeating and affirming what they're saying to make sure you understand exactly what they're saying.
Well, yeah. We did the backtracking, remember? Yeah. And that can be a part of it. And also backtracking what you think you're hearing. Well, you're surprised at this list and saying, I don't quite know what to do about it.
So don't take rapport for granted.
Take rapport for granted.
Especially with family.
Especially with those that you're close to. Yeah. We do take it for granted and say, well, we're automatically going to have it. Right. So we wouldn't assert ourselves in any way to go through the motion of creating it when you may need to in some of those. Yeah, especially if you're going to have any kind of a disagreement with someone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to mention from the last couple of sessions before?
Well, Kira? I hope this isn't boring everybody, but I was doing a practice like coaching session with a friend, and this is all about reporting, and we're friends. But we're doing it over the phone, long distance, and he was really tired and just speaking like this. And I recorded it for school for feedback purposes, and my voice was all like this, and I'm all way here, and he's way down there, and just listening back to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just, so what would you recommend, like, could I pace and lead him, or, because listening back to it, it's like, I didn't want to just meet him where he was, because then it might have made me super tired, but...
As long as you know, that this is a wonderful point she's bringing out. As long as you know what you're doing, and you go, okay, my intent is to match, to get rapport, so that possibly then I could lead this somewhere else.
But so it is really important for me as a coach to
And you set intent with yourself, you know, even as you're in the process of doing it, you know, you kind of send this verbiage to your part, we're doing this for rapport.
Right.
We're doing this for rapport. And then you need to pace for a period of time first to make sure you're in rapport with that person before you then start speeding your voice up, start putting more inflection in. I had a funny experience now that you're mentioning that on Thanksgiving, because I stayed home and I didn't, because I was going to be down here and get to see family after Thanksgiving, I didn't come down here. And I called all of my grandkids and talked to each one of them individually on the phone to tell them how much I miss them and all of this. And I'm talking to, I have twins that are 6 years old, the youngest ones, talking to the first little boy. And I tell him how thankful, I said, you know, this is Thanksgiving. And I want you to know how thankful I am that I had the opportunity to be there when you were born and to change your diaper and feed you every night for the first 3 months of your life. You know, I'm really thankful for that. And he just squealed. He was so cute and ran off to tell his mom. He said, I'm putting Lincoln on. And so Lincoln comes on and he goes, hello, Mima. And I went, okay, hello, Lincoln. And I realized I did that on purpose to match that. I mean, here was his little brother running off all airy-fairy, so excited about what he'd just been told. And he was asserting that he didn't really even want to talk to me. So I matched where he was first. I didn't come on and go, hi, how's your day? Hello, Lincoln, you know.
Right.
And it made a difference in the way our conversation went. So it is. Mm-hmm. I knew what I was doing it for, not so that I'd join him on his let's be grumpy level, but let's be grumpy together for a little bit and then let's move somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.